Hey, everybody, to the Charlie Kirk Show. Where is the backlash that we have been hearing about? Is it coming? Can we count on it? Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is on the front lines. tpusa.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. Is this going to backfire? That is the opening question I want to ask you. I've been hearing that for quite some time, and I think people mean well when they say that. But for the last couple of years, ever since Biden was implemented as president of the United States, I have been hearing, well, Charlie, this is going to backfire. The trillions of dollars of spending, this will backfire. The open border, that is going to backfire. The environmental fanaticism, this is going to backfire. The raiding on Mar-a-Lago, this is going to backfire. The spying on moms and dads, school boards, that's going to backfire. And I wonder, has it? Will it? Now, I'm not trying to be too cynical. I'm not trying to discount this too much. But I do wonder, why is it that we immediately gravitate towards that talking point? For a while, we've been hearing, well, this is the year of the boomerang. Things are going to come around back to normal. And I think it's very tempting to say that because you want to believe the American people are always going to course correct. And we've seen some evidence of it. We've seen Lightfoot removed. We've seen the district attorney of San Francisco removed. But generally, where was the backfire against the COVID lockdowns? Who was held accountable politically for that? Was Gretchen Whitmer held accountable for locking down her state? Was J.B. Pritzker held accountable for locking down Illinois? Was Gavin Newsom held accountable? The answer is sadly no. And that's not to say that people can never be held accountable and there is not an equal and opposite reaction bubbling up. But what I am saying is we have to resist the talking point that just because something unjust happens, there will be a guarantee of a political backlash. That is not the way politics works. There's opportunities for it. It presents a chance. There's an opening. But I think we as conservatives see things that are so out of alignment with reality and normalcy. And so we had a wonderful Turning Point USA event last night. And some of our generous supporters said, well, Charlie, you know, if they arrest Trump, this is going to backfire and this is really going to wake people up. And I said, well, explain that to me. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, people are going to see that, you know, we really are living in an unfree country and we're going to win big in 2024. I said, well, that's what's going to convince them? The perp walk of Donald Trump? Like all of a sudden they're going to be like, wow, this is a bridge too far. If that's true, then the Mar-a-Lago raid would have helped us in the midterms, and it didn't. Remember, the Brett Kavanaugh stuff was supposed to help us, or the Kyle Rittenhouse stuff. It turns out that, yeah, there might be some backlash, especially if there's local rioting. I think there is some backfiring that can happen there. The truth is this. Most people do not watch the news and consume it daily, and most people don't even remember it a couple months ago. It's so short-lived. The shelf life of an American news cycle, it perishes. The expiration date is very, very soon. It's like a 30-day shelf life, a 15-day shelf life. 10 days ago, we were talking about bank collapses, and now that's kind of gone. When was the last time we talked about East Palestine, Ohio? That came and that went really quick. We do this every single day. This is my full-time job, in addition to running Turning Point USA. doing 3 hours of radio every day, hosting podcasts and interviews. I read newspapers. I dive into this stuff. We do hours of research. Our team does dozens of hours of research a week to prepare a program for you. And it's hard for us to remember all the stories. The Biden classified document scandal. How about this? The Speaker of the House fight. Remember that? That was just 45 days ago. Chinese balloons. Where's the backlash against Chinese balloons? What I'm getting at is there is no guarantee that just because the left overreaches that they're going to awaken a sleeping giant. In fact, I think I want to venture a guess that the more we think that there is some sort of a boomerang effect, the less we fight. I think that actually it is dangerous and deeply unhelpful. In fact, I think it is damaging to our movement to act as if things will automatically kind of come back in our direction. The crazier the news cycle is, the less likely a boomerang is possible. There's too many different stories. The cycle is too quick. Social media, viral videos, people that are scandalized 1 month just kind of come back onto the scene the next month. We're like, well, I guess they got through it. And so therefore, it takes work. You might say, well, Charlie, what's it going to take? It's actually going to take us less about thinking that the news cycle is going to determine and dictate political outcomes that we find to be favorable. And we have to do the work to build the infrastructure, long-term infrastructure. And that's what the left has done. The digital age, especially with the mainstream press and this nonsense that they're peddling, has the ability to kill the boomerang. Where was the boomerang against masking children? Our movement is more aware and awake, but we need to channel that information into action. And I'll be honest, I used to believe in the promise of the inevitable boomerang. I'm like, oh, people aren't going to take this. They're going to reach a boiling point. And there's a little bit of that. But basically, people vote on inflation, economy, maybe abortion if you're an upper middle class woman. Maybe. The border is kind of abstract to most people. There is some boomerang on the trans stuff, but it took a ton of effort and it just doesn't happen. That's the point, is it took documentaries, it took protests, it took challenging powerful people, it took hundreds of hours of advocacy on programs like ours. It took Tucker Carlson diving into the issue, it took books, it took op-eds, it took commentary, it took outside groups, it took nonprofit groups. How did the Democrats get mileage out of Dobbs? The boomerang didn't happen automatically. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars of ads. So why am I building this out? I'm building it out because I don't want you to be passive and to be a spectator, acting as if you're saying, well, this thing's about to turn around because they've overreached and it's coming back in our direction. And you might not believe that. You might think that's silly. But boy, that certainly is the attitude I've been receiving in your emails from many of you. And also the event that we had yesterday. And look here, the media just has to run enough interference and smokescreen. This Politico article is extraordinary. I mean, this woman, Erica Orden, I don't know who she is, but she would have been a perfect member of the Pravda publication during the Soviet Union. It is so unbelievably intellectually dishonest. I thought this was a Daily Kos blog. I had to read and reread the headline, because I couldn't tell if this was Daily Kos or Babylon Bee. Politico article. By the book, district attorney confronts unpredictable opponent in Trump. What editor at Politico approved this headline? By the book? This is one of the most radical, soft on crime, okay with violence in the streets as New York deteriorates? By what book exactly? They call him by one book just 1 day after a memo where he ordered prosecutors to just invent a new law. He issued a memo to not prosecute tons of crimes, ignoring prostitution, ignoring theft, ignoring violence. And then they say he's politics averse. This is Politico. So when I say there might not be a backlash or we can't count on it, It's because the media does this and people say, well, you know, Alvin Bragg is by the book and he's politics averse. This Erica Orden person for Politico, I mean, she should be ashamed, obviously. I'm shocked. It takes a lot for me to be shocked that anybody at Politico would publish this rubbish. Shows where you're at. Justice reforms have forced prosecutors to toss out 69% of New York City criminal cases. But she says, well, he's by the book. We're going to go indict a former president for the first time in American history over a created, fabricated, and just completely new interpretation of criminal law. Do you think a backfire or a backlash or a boomerang is inevitable? Because I've been waiting for it for a couple years, and I'm afraid it's not going to happen automatically. It's only going to happen if we put in the work. Politico says it's by the book. What book exactly? The Communist Manifesto? Politics averse. DA, how bad is crime in New York City? It'd be one thing if New York was super safe and it was this great city. It would still be an outrageous indictment. Rapes are up 16%. Robberies rose 9.4%. Overall, 3.4% increase in year-to-date major crimes, according to New York Police Department stats. To be fair, on the bright side, the latest numbers show that murders are down, but they're up over the last couple years. So Alvin Bragg, New York City prosecutors, have been forced to toss out 69% of criminal cases, while shootings rose 102% and murders rose by 51%. This is a man who wants to become the first prosecutor ever to indict and arrest a former president. And by the way, this is all while an increase at record highs. You have Giancalone, an adjunct professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, quote, "This is the thing that people have to think about. We had a pretty close to a record increase crime last year. At the same time, overall major crimes are up 35.2% in New York City. Robberies up 25.1%. As I mentioned, rapes up nearly 16%. And he wants to be the first person to indict a former president in the history of the country. There is no going back from this. And by the way, the left that is cheerleading this, Joe Scarborough and all these people that are saying, oh yeah, well, a crime is a crime is a crime is a crime. Once we as conservatives get our act together and we start indicting Democrats, former president Democrats, uniparty Republicans, you guys have lost all of your moral rights to complain. I think it's wrong what's happening here, but I'm not going to forget this, and many conservatives aren't going to forget this if Donald Trump is arrested. As I say, it's time for us to do subpoenas and investigations into the legitimate crimes of the Democrat mafia. We said that yesterday, and it needs to happen. If you have an attorney general in your state that is not actively investigating one of the members of the Democrat Party, you should ask them, like, why are you not doing this? They're about to indict a former president. All they understand is power, equal and opposite reaction. That's all they understand. It's a deterrent. By the way, Fulton County might indict Donald Trump, the Department of Justice, and we're just supposed to say, well, you know, I really hope everything's fine and we're going to take it. But here's the buried lead that nobody wants to talk about. Republicans are actually cheering on these indictments more than some Democrats. There's a major community of Republicans out there that are quietly snickering and sneering, hoping that Donald Trump actually gets indicted. Like, oh, finally, we can turn the page. Finally, we can get rid of him. Finally, we can move past Donald Trump. When in reality, Donald Trump is just in the way. Donald Trump is just in the way of you, them coming towards you, the people. By the way, if Donald Trump would have all of a sudden took a pivot towards neoliberalism and invade the world and invite the world and keep borders completely and totally wide open, then they would have said, all right, whatever. No, Donald Trump wants to get back to the White House and is making commitments and promises that are a legitimate threat to their internationalist, globalist aims and ambitions. There's an entire community of Republicans that are cheering this on, that are hoping this happens. And we're getting a fair amount of emails from you saying, well, Charlie, come on, of course there's going to be a backlash. Why are you such a pessimist? I'm a realist. I'm saying, what are you doing? Are you a precinct committeeman? Are you currently homeschooling your kids? Are you trying to help a grandkid to be prevented from being indoctrinated? Have you moved all your money away from left-wing businesses? And maybe you say, well, Charlie, I've done everything I possibly can. Then fine, that's not for you. You've done everything you can. Then I guess you're like us, where we travel 300 days a year and we've decided that we want to dedicate, you know, actually we tallied it. We did 2,780 days of travel the last decade. But maybe you've done everything you possibly can. We're getting a lot of emails. Charlie, stop this. Of course, there's going to be a backlash. That's not a guarantee. It doesn't happen automatically. Instead, the most operative question is, what are we going to do? What is the change we are going to effectuate? Politico writes, in recent week, Trump has already sought to paint Bragg as a liberal firebrand. I mean, how does Politico write this stuff? Promoting criticism on his progressive policies on ending the prosecution of minor offenses and curbing jail time for certain crimes. So here's the best solution for Donald Trump. Donald Trump should go to New York and commit a violent felony, and then they would drop all charges. Donald Trump should just go on the subway and mug somebody, and then they would drop all charges, and he'd be free to go. Donald Trump should just go loot a department store. Go to a Walgreens and just steal a bunch of stuff. That's almost a guarantee that Alvin Bragg won't come after you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Anyone who thinks they won't need emergency food is not paying attention. Remember, you're 9 meals away from anarchy. Every day, the headlines get worse and worse. It pays to prepare. That's why I seriously recommend you stock up on emergency food right away. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and check out their popular 3-month emergency food kit. Right now, you'll save $200 per kit. Each kit gives you a wide variety of delicious breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks, providing over 2,000 calories a day. For optimum strength and energy, act now and claim $200 in savings. You'll sleep better knowing your family will not suffer if the worst ever happens. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and you'll enjoy free shipping as well. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Check out their popular 3-month emergency food kit, MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. Act now and claim your $200 savings. MyPatriotSupply.com. There is a chance that they back off. Now, this is just one of several investigations into Donald Trump currently, but there's been a new wrinkle. The entire case is built on the testimony of Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen is not a reputable person at all. Michael Cohen contradicts himself. He's a low-rate criminal, is really what Michael Cohen is. And so on Tucker Carlson's program last evening, I think we have a tape from this. It's pretty amazing. Attorney Costello came out, and because of the waiving of the attorney-client privilege, he was able to discuss freely and openly about his relationship with Michael Cohen and how Michael Cohen is materially lying to, quote-unquote, get Trump. It is an interesting question. Is Michael Cohen being incentivized to do this? Is Michael Cohen being paid or threatened to do this? These are legitimate questions, by the way. And also, Jim Jordan is asking a very good question, something that I do suspect, which is there a coordinated effort? Is there a quote-unquote get Trump war room? We're going to ask that question in just a second because I think that's actually really interesting. Play cut 22.
I called him up after I saw Michael Cohen on TV stating things that he said he was going to tell the grand jury and had told the grand jury that were contrary to what he told us when we first represented him in April of 2018. So I'm sitting at home watching these lies, and I said, I've got to do something about it. I don't represent Donald Trump, but I do stand for justice, and I think I have a legal obligation to inform both sides. So that's what I did.
And so effectively, if you listen to the entire segment, it's a long segment. He went in and he has the emails and the texts and the phone calls, and he has a sworn waiving of attorney-client privilege, which I don't know why Michael Cohen signed. That's just really bizarre and strange. He's all over the place. And he went right in and to the grand jury and basically said, you can't trust this guy. You can't build a case on this. So the entire case is basically built on Michael Cohen saying, Donald Trump had an affair, allegedly, with Stormy Daniels, and then he wanted to pay hush money payment, which is not illegal, by the way. You might find hush money payment reprehensible. You might not like it. Unfortunately, it's done a lot in politics. It's done a lot in corporate America. I personally don't like it, but it's part of life, and it's not illegal. It's not illegal. So he comes out, and he says, just so you know, all of this information here that contradicts Michael Cohen. And now all of a sudden it's been delayed a week. They say, well, it might not be until next week. Might not be till next week. And now Michael Cohen says that Trump is trying to muddy the water. Now, I actually think Trump pulled on a very smart public relations lifeline over the weekend. Donald Trump realized that they were circling the vultures. And so Donald Trump had a choice to make. He could ignore the news as he has with all these DA's stuff, or he could basically pre-bunk it. He could call the bluff. He could say, I'm going to be indicted, even though that probably wasn't yet decided. Now, they were leaking stories. They were putting up barricades outside the DA office, but Donald Trump leading it really put the DA's office in a public relations pressure campaign that was very smart for Trump to do. It was the only option he had left. It obviously, he was not able to effectively defend himself in the grand jury situation with his lawyers. So he said, the last thing I have to preserve my name and my reputation and the reputation of his supporters, because he's a representation of the supporters in the movement, is to play offense and to put them on defense. It was very smart. And basically, he caught the DA a little flat-footed here, and now they've delayed it another week. They still might indict him. They still might arrest him. Michael Cohen calls it muddying the waters, the false attack. It was actually a rather brilliant strategy for the time being. It's the only one that he had left at his disposal because of this unconstitutional Stalinistic indictment looming. Play cut 30.
It's a typical Donald J. Trump play out of the playbook. Figure out how you're going to muddy the water as best as you possibly can. Denigrate the person, disparage them. The district attorney has the documentation in order to validate every single statement that I've made and to basically dispel anything that Bob Costello has to say, which is probably, again, why they didn't need me for rebuttal.
So he's arguing that this is all a tactic. This is all just a tactic. And in some ways, he might be right. It's Donald Trump pushing back against kind of the public relations narrative. But I want to ask a very important question, which is there a kind of a get Trump war room that exists? Is there a war room where there is kind of a central nervous system, if you will, where they're going through the different ways that they can go after Trump? And this is something that Jim Jordan wants to find out. Has Alvin Bragg communicated with the Biden Justice Department? Has Alvin Bragg been talking to other outside district attorneys? Are other people influencing him? Joe Scarborough thinks that Donald Trump is trying to get people to do another January 6th, and now the Justice Department is going to have to hire more people to prosecute him. These people are bloodthirsty. Their meaning is to try to get that picture of him being perp-walked. That is their goal. They will feel a sense of accomplishment on MSNBC. Stormy Daniels just came out and she said she'll dance in the streets. No one wants to see that. If Donald Trump gets indicted and arrested. Play cut 31.
So, Willie, it's interesting. So the arrests keep coming for January 6th.
Yep.
Trump's trying to get them to do another January 6th today or tomorrow. The Justice Department's going to have to get a bigger boat or at least hire more attorneys if they do it.
Joe Scarborough represents a petty but revenge-filled attitude that the media has towards Donald Trump. I want to go to cut 11. Trump's attorney makes the argument that if there was a crime, it's extortion, and Trump is the victim. Play cut 11.
The only potential crime here, Mark, is that Donald Trump was an extortion victim. When someone says, give me money or I'm going to tell a nasty story about you, true or not, that's absolutely irrelevant to that equation. True or not, I'm going to tell a story to the press. I'm going to embarrass you, your family, unless you give me money. That's extortion 101. But yet Donald Trump, the victim of extortion, for the first time in this country's history, in the most novel, untested legal theory of prosecution, is being subject to a grand jury investigation.
This is historic what we're seeing here. And it's been very telling. I've been texting with some establishment Republicans. If you're fired up about this, by the way, you should be super fired up about it. Most Republican establishment folks I talk to are not fired up about this. You know, just I had a couple phone calls yesterday with people that are kind of more on the establishment side, and we get along well. I said, what do you think about this? And somebody said, well, Charlie, and this is a top kind of Republican donor type, establishment donor guy, and we don't see eye to eye in a lot of stuff, but we're still on good terms. He said, Charlie, I know you're not going to like me saying this, but I hope he goes to jail. It'd be good for the conservative movement. He said, I'm done with him. That is an attitude of a lot of Republicans, certainly not in this audience and not with you. But I sure hope you understand that there is a uniparty push for this. There is a demand in Washington, D.C., almost like just get him out of the picture. And what they're really saying is get those Trump people out of the picture. Get you out of the picture. That you're finally engaged, that you're finally involved. And isn't it curious that the one guy that has diversified and expanded the Republican Party is the one that they want to get rid of the most? And it was very telling. And I will see in the next couple days, you know, I'm heading to a couple cities. I'm going to Columbus and I'm going somewhere in Florida that definitely has a fair amount of kind of ruling class Republicans. And again, you don't have to agree on everything in life. You can get along on certain things. I'll listen and hear them out. But I'm a little shocked. Nah, I shouldn't even say that. I'm a little surprised. Shocked is too strong. At how many Republicans who know that this is wrong happening to Trump, they're kind of like shrugging their shoulders and they say, yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, it's an overreach. But I really don't like him. It's very telling. Goes to show the poison that has infected the Republican Party. Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868. It's been very interesting to see how few Senate Republicans are speaking out against this. And it just goes to show that many Senate Republicans are in self-preservation mode. They just want their own projects to be protected. They want their own livelihoods to be protected. And there has been a kind of get Trump agenda in the Republican Party for quite some time that they want to turn the page on Trump. And it's not about Trump's bombast. And this is Matt Walsh had a fabulous tweet the other day. And this is, I could do a whole hour on this. I meant to mention this. So Matt Walsh said, he said, Republicans complain about our candidates' tweets and style. Meanwhile, the Democrats use political power to indict their political opponents. It's such a perfect point. While we're really worried about somebody's style, the other side has become a Stalinistic movement. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't really care as much about Donald Trump's name calling. I don't like it. We are in a brutal fight for the country. Wake up, everybody. I want to play this piece of tape here. Let's go to Maxine Waters saying Donald Trump is sending out a message to rile up far-right groups to act out on another January 6th. Play cut 20.
This is Donald Trump sending messages out to domestic terrorists that he's worked with and he helped to organize for the invasion of the Capitol on January 5th. He's sending out a message to them to get ready to protest any arrests, indictments, et cetera, that he may have. So he's basically talking to the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, QAnon, KKK.
Well, you got any else you want to add to that? QAnon, KKK, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, 1789 Society. Yeah, that's not even a thing. And by the way, now January 6th is no longer an insurrection. It's an invasion now. Forget an insurrection. Didn't you miss the tanks and the Tomahawk missiles on January 6th? If you missed it, you're a bigot, according to Maxine Waters. But the left does not care about style. They care about results. And while Alvin Bragg, I mean, this is such a ridiculous Politico piece, and I could go through several others, you have to understand something about the left, which is, yes, the left has cover of their media, but if Alvin Bragg ends up doing this, it is damaging, it is hurtful, it is terrible for the country, and for any establishment Republican out there or anybody out there that is listening to my voice and you say, oh, I don't like Trump, and I don't like this, you are cheering for the shredding of America. America is not a place where you lock up political opponents you don't like, especially on petty differences. And by the way, the threshold basically is Hillary Clinton walks for what she did. That's the threshold. George W. Bush walks for what he did. So now, therefore, all those people need to go to jail. If we actually have equal justice, Obama, Biden, Clinton, Comey, Lois Lerner, Eric Holder, it's not going to happen. Fauci, because they want to have a show trial. Hillary Clinton, by the way, quietly settled campaign finance violations last year. She was never arrested. Legitimate campaign finance violations. But if you're a Republican out there and we have a sizable audience and you say, boy, I hate Trump, you need to really have some reflection on that. You need to really think deeply. And I hope that this motivates you to speak out on principle at how outrageous this is. On principle at how these are just conjured up charges. And the argument that is true, but it's overused, to be honest, is, well, if they can do it to Trump, they're going to do it to somebody else. That's a true argument, but if it just is done to anybody unjustly, it should fire you up. Any injustice should prick your soul towards action, period. Not to mention, they're doing this in the arena and the venue where they can find the most humiliation possible for Donald Trump, where he was once the kind of darling of New York City. Woolman Rink, Convention Center, Plaza Hotel, doing the Hyatt deal, Trump Tower, massive developer, came in after the World Trade Center, owned golf courses in one of the bureaus, all that sort of stuff. One of the boroughs. They want to humiliate him in the very same place. And I'm troubled, and I hope it changes, by the lack of outrage, the lack of energy by too many establishment Republicans on this. They just seem kind of like, well, it's an overreach, it's bad, let's move on. Let's get back to sending money to Zelensky. If this Rubicon is crossed, and if you don't know what the Rubicon is a river in Italy. When Julius Caesar, he was deployed up north and was fighting what basically is the Germans or the Goths, won a bunch of wars there, came back down south, and he was given a direct order that if you cross the river Rubicon, it will turn the Roman triumphant into a civil war. And Julius Caesar had to make a decision. He took his troops and he crossed the river Rubicon, and it turned the entire Roman, it was at the time a Roman Republic, into a very bloody civil war that Caesar ended up winning. But that's where we get the term crossing of the Rubicon. They cross this Rubicon. There is no going back. I sure hope they don't, for the good of the country, for the good of the promise of the founding fathers, that you can go after on petty differences a former president And if you're out there and you say, I hate Trump, he's the worst, he's all these different things, well, then I hope you love America. Because this would be an indictment of an American tradition, an American republic, and there would be no going back. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.